Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp. And yes, we're right here around that virtual kitchen table to have another metaphysical discussion. And maybe a little metaphysical chaos, too, because we go there somehow. And this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. It's such a joy to be with you again. And I'm here with my buddies. Hi, guys.
Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton.
And this is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. Glad to be with you again.
And as you know, we have this amazing website called the Global Center for Spiritual Awakening.com, where we provide all kinds of fabulous resources for you.
Yeah, and the part of their website that's associated with Metaphysical Romp 2 is at bit.ly/MetaRomp, MetaRompe, bit.ly/MetaRomp. You can get a lot of resources based on all of our programs, as well as send comments and questions, which we always enjoy. And of course, Bill and I always want to express our gratitude that Cher is the one who's being our tech. She's our IT person. You know, Bill's research and development, and Cher is IT. Right? Yeah.
I guess.
So here we are. We're continuing with our discussion of laws, and this followed our discussion on principle, where principle is a spiritual fact or constant. Or a universal spiritual constant, like a fact. An example would be any of the 12 powers, whether it be love or wisdom or elimination. Those are divine ideas, divine powers, divine principles. Those are simply facts. And then law tells us how mind works. And sometimes law, it's obvious, I should say, law uses principles, but all. And I see Cher has a smile on her face, so I know what she wants to say. Go for it.
I want to say, as we move into this, that one of our laws is, it's another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And it's another beautiful day in my consciousness as well.
Well, and now it's a beautiful day in my consciousness.
And we affirm that for all our listeners as well.
Right, exactly. And that's why it's, you know, this is a team project around a virtual kitchen table, which today stretches from Dallas, Texas, all the way over to Durham, North Carolina. Okay. So, as I was saying, we're looking at laws now, and today we're going to begin by looking at the law of God. The law of God. And we're going to dive into this. Cher, you're going to do your usual great job of reading and giving us the quotes. And a little bit into it, I'm going to share what might be called my own insights about this.
Somehow the law of God, just that phrase sounds really strange, doesn't it?
When we say law of God, sometimes we think of like the Ten Commandments, right?
Yes, right. Right.
Which are really just suggestions.
By the way.
And so in this construct, actually, that's a good thing to bring up. So a rule is something you can break. And you can break the Ten Commandments. So they're not really laws. They're more like 10 rules.
You can break them all at once if you smash the table.
That's okay, we're off and running. And now Cher's doing the jokes. It's going to be a great day. So go for it, Cher.
All right. So this comes from Christian Healing by Charles Fillmore. And he says, now we have a fuller understanding of the law of God. Of course, we don't because we're just starting to read this, but he's assuming we've been reading his book. And know that whatever has been done once can be done again under like conditions. If Jesus and his disciples and the early Christians did marvelous things through the prayer of faith, we can do likewise. All that's required is perseverance in our use of faith until we make connection with the higher realms of consciousness, where, as Jesus said, though our faith be as small as the smallest of seeds, it will spring forth and demonstrate its power to carry out every desire into which we infuse it. Nothing, this is a quote, nothing shall be impossible unto you, end quote. If your faith is in spirit and if your work is in harmony with divine mind.
So here, the law of God might be referring to and more like the laws of God. That's the sense I have from this. Because he's saying, if we understand that Jesus and the disciples were Christians to do this, they were essentially doing it for the personal law, that they could do it, we should be able to. Yes?
Yeah. It kind of goes back to the John quote, the quote in John where Jesus said, whatever I do, you can do, and even more.
Exactly. And of course, faith is always key, right? Mm-hmm. And in unity, you're talking about understanding faith, not blind faith in a power that's separate, bigger, and higher than we are. Understanding faith is based on the knowledge of principles and law. And the law I'm thinking of is mind idea expression. Mind idea expression.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Because if you plant that mustard seed, and under the right conditions, it must sprout and create a mustard bush or tribe. Actually, in their places, it's what they do, you understand it.
Yeah. The birds come and make nests in them if they dig.
Yeah. So that's the growing of an idea, and mind idea expression is one way of looking at growing ideas. But let's see what else we got. There's a lot of quotes here, and I put them all because they're pretty good, so this might take more than one program.
Okay. So let me continue, and this again continues in Christian Healing. This Son is the Christ, the universal cosmos. To its equity, man should commit the justice that he wishes to see brought into human affairs.
Can we stop there?
Yeah, I was just going to say this language alone gets a little bit difficult.
Yeah, but so this is interesting. Whenever I hear universal cosmos now, guess who I think of? The guy sitting next to you, Bill. That's more like you, isn't it, Bill?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you'd call this the Son, the Christ, the universal cosmos, but that whole concept is really key to the way you express things.
And from a Hindu point of view, there's a term called Spanda, S-P-A-N-D-A, which really means the same thing. It's the primordial vibration that sets everything in physicality and motion.
I'm so glad that you continue to remind us of that every few weeks, because it's such a good term. To people who know that we're basically unity ministers struggling to get out of the box, the real neat connection there is that the Fillmore studied some Hinduism, at least, based on the records we have. So,
yeah.
And so, Sherry, you wanted to stop there. So what was it in there that was...
I think it was more the languaging of the, so odd, the words he used, to its equity. What does he mean by that?
So for me, equity means you get in with what you put in, you get out. There's kind of an equity in that.
Okay.
And so that's related to man should commit the justice or the evaluation or the equity that he wishes to see brought to human affairs. So,
does that mean do what you do unto others as you would have them do unto you?
That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay, that makes more sense. That's easier to understand than the way he worded it.
Yep.
Okay. Then he goes on to say, put all the burdens of the world upon the one supreme judge. Oh, this is interesting that we're having this
Here
discussion.
We go. Here.
Put all the burdens of the world upon the one supreme judge and hold every man and all the conditions in which men are involved amenable to the law of God. By so doing, you will set into action mind forces powerful and far-reaching.
Yeah, so when I read stuff or hear this read, it's just so vague that
it's
hard to get your mind around it. But so this burdens of the world upon the one supreme judge. Now, doesn't that bring up the scary times of my childhood in Christianity? And the one supreme judge, God, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Something you could not hide.
Right? So, but this is interesting. So, if we said upon the one supreme principle and hold every man in all conditions in which men are involved amenable to the law of God, if law uses principle, that's just saying we're all held to principle. And it's not because there's a being or entity doing it. It's that that's just the way things are, just like we're held to the principles of electricity. We're held to the principles of gravity, aren't we? Mm-hmm. It's just that it seems personified here, which not only seems, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Or you want to say something?
I have a comment, but I want to read the next paragraph first, because it may kind of add to what I was thinking. Okay, if you think that you are unjustly treated by your friends, your employers, your government, or those with whom you do business, simply declare the activity of the Almighty Mind, and you will set into action mental forces that will find expression in the executors of the law. This is the most lasting reform to which man can apply himself. It is much more effective than legislation or any attempt to control unjust men by human ways.
Are you aware you cleaned that up? Because it's executors of the law.
What did I say?
Executors.
Oh, yeah. So this is real. This is getting worse.
Yeah, it is. And that one bothers me. That paragraph bothers me a lot.
Yep. So the thing is, saying is, mind ID expression is always at work. And if you're feeling unjustly treated by your friends, first of all, that mind ID expression is happening in me, and I'm having that experience within me.
Yes.
Yes. So it's time to pivot to the other part of our wonderful podcast, where we're going to riff a little bit on Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited. But before we flip to that, we think it would be important for our listeners to know about another great book. Paul, why don't you tell them about your book?
Yeah, so that the book I chose to talk about today is Point of Power. And that was my first book. I call it The Book of My Heart. Lots of great information. It's not as absolute in the language because it was written like 2006 or 2007. So it makes a good transition book for people from where they are now to maybe what we're talking about. And the subject matter is the five basic principles with things to apply, you know, exercise type things, and a little bit about my life story, and then some other great topics. There's in there the cause and effect. Let's leave it at that.
There's a nice piece on prayer.
Oh, good piece on prayer.
With a great example of affirmative prayer that I just really value.
So thank you for saying that. And that reminds me of one of my favorite sayings they got there that I put there. And I think you highlighted it in the book when you put it together, Cher, is prayer is not so much about the goodies you get as the goodness you realize you are.
Yeah, and I love that. Yes, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so.
So they could get that by going to your website, is that correct?
Right, and there's a link. Mm-hmm. There's a link, and Unity sells it, so if they just look up Point of Power,
Paul. It's on Amazon.
And it's on Amazon. Yeah.
Wonderful. Great. So let's go back to Bill's wonderful book, which is called Reverend Bill Unplugged and Unedited, which is also available in all those places. We were talking about the spiritual IP address, and we wanted to pick that back up. As we pick it back up, Bill, why don't you remind everybody what spiritual IP address is?
An IP address is, in terms of the internet, it's your internet address. It's your computer or laptop, so address on the internet. Well, the spiritual IP address is our higher spiritual self or our divine nature. It could also be called your cosmic logos.
I love that, cosmic logos.
I like that too.
And in Hinduism, there's another term for cosmic logos, and it's called Spanda. For those of you who want to know more about Spanda, S-P-A-N-D-A, Google it, you'll be amazed.
Yeah, Spanda, cool word. Okay.
So we started this last time, but we're just gonna pick it up on the third paragraph for those who have the book and are kind of following along with us in our riffing around the kitchen table, as we love to say.
Yeah, so we should call this part two.
Okay, so here's what Bill says now. He says, part of the problem with our worldly ego is that it suffers from what I call separation anxiety. I love that, separation anxiety. You experience separation anxiety every time you reincarnate. Each time you have an error thought or make a poor word choice, every time you choose a material thought over a spiritual intention, each time your materialistic actions belie your spiritual values. The emotional disconnect you feel in each of these experiences retails the separation anxiety that surfaces because you are out of alignment with your true nature, which is divine.
Wow, that is so fun. You know, they talk about children and dogs having separation anxiety. And in all the years I've been teaching, never made a connection. So that's brilliant, Bill. And I've never heard anybody say it. You know, if the problem is our belief in separation, then we all have a separation anxiety complex.
True.
I love that. I love that.
True. And yeah. It's reinforced by traditional religious practice.
Absolutely. All of religion over time, at least most of what I've read, is all about a separate God somehow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a few of the folks in Dallas wrestled with that idea that what if there wasn't a beginning?
Okay.
And they look at the complexity of things around us and they say, well, there had to be an intelligent being that created this.
If we had an intelligent being who created it, it would be a lot better shape.
Well, yeah. And if he's Jewish, he'd be going, oy vey. Oy vey.
Oh, my.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Going on, without an awareness of your true divine nature, much of your time is spent keeping chaos at bay. Boy, how is that for a description of how we feel right now?
Chaos at bay.
That's beautiful. Keeping chaos at bay, protecting your life and property, staving off financial disaster, climbing longer and longer corporate ladders, and managing the conflicts and disappointments that invariably find you. Emotional avalanches and mudslides crash against you. You turn molehills into mountains and create avalanches of fear and doubt that bury you. You mistake assumptions as facts and half-truths as gospel. No wonder you get confused. And once you're confused by molehills, you usually run into mountains of doubt and valleys of discontentment.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. So,
this is awesome.
So what popped into my mind, and I don't know, so you're going to have to fill us in, Bill, on what you were thinking here. When the turning the molehills into mountains, is that where Jesus says when we get it, we can cast mountains into the sea? Or share, what is that scripture?
It starts out as a mustard seed. And if you have faith enough as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, move, and you can actually move a mountain.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to tie this to a little bit of Fillmore, a little quote I've been shopping around. Fillmore defines the ego. He says, by right of our divinity, we make and remake ourselves. Okay. Uh-huh. And so we could have a type of negative faith, right? And instead of casting the mountain down, we take a molehill and make it into a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And that happens a lot. We tend to do that with things.
Yeah.
And worry and doubt and fear all contribute to that.
Absolutely. This making mountain into molehills, and all of this are molehills in the mountains. This whole thing that you're talking about here, we've talked about this many shows ago. I think a lot of this is just societal chemicalization going on. This stuff is coming up for cleansing, and it still is uncomfortable, and it's still chaos. Mm-hmm. Okay, Cher,
let me just take that one other question to talk about then. Once we're aware of that, what is our role? As a metaphysician, as a spiritual practitioner, how do we recognize it, and then what do we do about it?
So my goal is to stay the course, keeping my eye on the spiritual intention that Bill talked earlier on this. And because it is the spiritual intentions of collective consciousness that is chemicalizing this. And so when this stuff comes up, most people think of that as a sign to stop what you're doing, and really it's a sign to do it more, to be more intentional.
Yeah, one of the words Cher and I use for that is because we're so subject to our past programming and our confirmation bias, it's tough really to get out of that. And it causes what we call an intention deficit disorder.
Intention deficit disorder. We're going to create a whole new cycle.
And of course, good intentions never get you anywhere. You've actually got to take action. Yep. And most of the action that you mentioned, Paul, where people experience the chemicalization, they don't know what to do with that. They think chemicalization is not good for them, and yet it's the very thing they need for change.
Yeah, it's the evidence that we're doing things right, and that's so important. And in our personal lives and in our in our collective.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think it's about time to pivot. So check this. There might need to be a part three on this.
I think there probably does, because there's some really good things.
This is just really rich, Bill. Wow.
Thank you.
You could do a whole book on that maybe. So what we're going to do now, this is our second pivot of the program. We're pivoting now to The Absolute Word, which is my weekly blog. It can be found at my website, paulhasselbeck.com. And The Absolute Word is based on Sunday messages appearing in The Daily Word, a copyright Unity publication, and has been used with permission. So this is from Sunday, October 7th, 2018. The word is rejoice. And the affirmation is, I rejoice in unlimited possibilities. I rejoice in unlimited possibilities. The Apostle Paul implores his followers in Philippi to rejoice in the Lord always. Metaphysically, this means rejoice in the activity of the spiritual I am as the ruling consciousness. It implores me to rejoice in my divine consciousness. This shifts my focus from changing circumstance to unchanging realm of infinite possibilities. The Apostle Paul also wrote this to the Philippians: whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As I claim them, I increase them in consciousness by the law of mind action. As they increase in consciousness, they become easier to manifest. I rejoice in my timeless spiritual nature of unlimited possibilities. I rejoice in unlimited possibilities.
Ah, yes. I love that.
So that was so fun to do, because when I saw rejoice in the Lord, and that, of course, everyone thinks that the Lord God outside, but rejoicing in our higher consciousness is just doing metaphysical Bible interpretation can really, I mean, it just uplifts me when I do it.
So. Oh, for sure. Us too.
We love that. Yeah. And I love the whole concept of unlimited possibility.
Yes, right.
Just to focus on unlimited possibility and think about what that really means is, it does bring you joy.
I'm feeling very joyful now, and very joyful for you, Bill, and Cher, for co-hosting this program.
This process.
I call that random noun replacement syndrome when that. And of course, we're always happy and delighted to have our listeners. And it's such fun to travel the country and have people come up and say, I listened to your program. And so I am directing them to the new website. Goodbye, friends. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Bye. Thank you so much, everybody, for continuing to be loyal listeners.
Yes, it's been our privilege. And so, auf Wiedersehen.
Until next time.
Adios.